Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you may excel still more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. Consequently, he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Now, as to love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed, you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, to excel still more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. Attend to your own business and work with your hands, just as we commanded you, so that you may behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve, as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. So Paul, in chapter 4, is kind of closing the chapter out, and he's getting to his kind of teaching mode. And the first instruction that he talks about is sanctification. And he's telling the church in Thessalonica, and you got to remember, this is actually a very good church. He already says, we read in the chapter, he talks about loving other brothers, and he said, in fact, you're actually quite known for this all throughout Macedonia, but the request is, but still excel even more. And which is kind of a good way of looking at our Christian life. In a sense, don't ever really be satisfied. There is that satisfaction that comes from the Lord, but still constantly excel for even more. Even as I love my kids and I love my wife, I can love them more. You know, you love your house church, you can love your house church more. There's not a sense of I don't want you to get a sense of inferiority about it. You know, but there's always this attitude that we can always do more. We can always go deeper. A.W. Tozer said that the paradox of the soul is to have found and met with God, but still pursue him even more. And God's here with us, but there's that heart, and because God is so vast, we can continue to go after him even more. And so it's our heart training. And so he gives these instructions. And he said, look, I want you to walk in a manner that pleases God, to live a life in such a way that you may still excel even more. And even from the beginning, verse 1, he says, you know, just as you actually do walk. In other words, you're already doing it, but let's do it more. Still excel, still more. And you know the commandments, the authority of the Lord Jesus. This is God's will for you, that you're in your sanctification, that especially that you abstain from sexual immorality. Remember, he's talking to this very pagan culture, and he's concerned about this pagan culture, that they will infiltrate this new church that's happening, the culture all around. And he's saying here, I want you to excel even more. I want you to abstain, you know, consider your sanctification. And look, you should never, ever use it as an excuse. Well, this is what my people do, you know, or this is what people do during these times. That's basically the excuse being used in Thessalonica, or can be used. And you say, no, even though this is happening all around you, excel still more. I was having a discussion with this Chinese man, and we were talking, and basically he was giving me reasons why it's okay for Chinese men to cheat on their wives. You can imagine this was a very nice dinner that we're having. You know, here's this guy talking to a pastor, and going through many different things. But basically, at the end of the day, this is the reasons why myself as a Chinese man, I can do this, because all Chinese men do this. You know, or this is the way I grew up, and so on and so forth. And I just kind of looked at him almost incredulously, I just kind of told him off, during that time. But we do this a lot, don't we? We kind of use all these excuses. Well, it's okay for me to get upset because I'm kimchi eating Korean man. You know, no, it's not okay. Right, it's okay for me to act like this, or it's okay for me to not trust God because I went to Harvard and I learned how to use my mind, and so I make pros and cons and I do all these spreadsheets and all these things. No, it's not okay, right? You should trust God. But what we use so much of our experiences, and we use our training, and we use our culture, we use so many things to make an excuse of this life that's contrary to this life that God wants us to live. And he's saying, like, don't be like the Gentiles, and in particular, don't be like this culture that's all around you. Sanctify yourself before the Lord. Walk in a manner that's worthy of God. You know, don't try to please men. Don't try to please your culture. Please God. I mean, this is really important. I know that this is one of the major things that Asians really struggle with, especially when you first become a Christian. Because there's this whole, Asian mentality and culture, which is very good, right? Of honoring your mothers and fathers, but yet they're not Christians. And now you have this whole different ethos of how we should live our life biblically. And sometimes those things run in contrast to one another. I know I had to deal with this myself. And my parents were Christians, but there are some things that even in their Christianity, they're actually much more Confucianist then they're actually following the teachings of Jesus Christ. And so how do you muddle through these things? Well, one of the primary points, all through Paul's writings, and even Luke and Acts, he'll say, I'd rather obey God than man. And there's that part of putting God first, Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And so, but there's a skill in there. I think I talked a couple months before, right? We're always ought to honor our parents. We don't always have to obey our parents. The scriptures say in the Lord, okay? And we can talk about this some other time. And so, it says, so abstain, from this. Don't move in lustful passions. Verse 4, each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. The word vessel is actually quite interesting. It could be translated a couple different ways. One way, it could be translated your body. And so make sure that you keep your body in check. Other way, actually, it's also translated your wife. And so make sure that you're treating your wife in an honorable way. And so, you don't have to cheat and do all these things. And really, this idea of lust, those kind of play a part in it as well, right? Because ultimately, if you are committing adultery, you're not honoring your wife. You're not honoring your vessel, either your body or your wife. And so both definitions actually work well in this passage. Don't do like the Gentiles. And that no man would defraud. And then now he's talking about our relations to one another. Verse 9, now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed, you do practice it toward all the brethren in all Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. This is good church, man. Right? I mean, Paul's saying, I don't really have to even tell you this because you're already doing it, but do it more. Excel even more. And then verse 11, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, attend to your own business, work with your hands, just as we commanded you, that you may behave properly toward outsiders and not be any need. Paul's saying, take care of your own business. Right? Lead a quiet life. Work with your hands. Take care of your own household. All these things that you should be doing. And thus, it's a good testimony to those who are outside of the faith. And then 13, this is what I really want to talk about. Those who died in Christ. And then he goes into another section that he'll carry on through verse or chapter 5. He says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. Now notice, right from the beginning, Paul kind of does a preemptive strike. And he, instead of using the more common word, or translated, the word death, he uses the word sleep. And he says, I don't want you to be unaware of those who have actually fallen asleep in Christ. And this is one of the major concerns in Thessalonica. They were such a strong church. They were a very obedient church. They were a loving church. They wanted to obey God. They were a giving church. And so one of the main concerns, and you can see out of, because only good people have these kind of concerns, okay? And so their concern is, well, we're alive, and we're gonna, because they believe Jesus is coming really soon, and we're alive, and we know that there's a reward in that, and that we get to meet God and Jesus and all these things. What about those people that died in Christ? What's meant by in Christ? We're talking about the period. You know, the Book of Thessalonians is written somewhere like in the 60 AD or whatnot. But during this time of what's happening here, the question that's arising is, well, what about these people that died from the time of Jesus' resurrection, right, to the time that they're at now, or the time when Jesus will come back? Now, they're thinking it's going to happen really soon. And so they're really concerned about their mothers, about their brothers, about people that have died. And it's kind of, are they going to miss out on this glorious return of Jesus? And you know, Paul is saying, no. You know, look, I don't want you to be unaware. The first point of comfort is that these guys, they're not dead. They're just merely asleep. You'll see this actually written throughout the Gospels and going forward into the letters, that those who died in Christ, in other words, believing in Jesus Christ, are not dead. They're asleep. But it's not a kind of asleep where like you're in some kind of coma or something like that. What he's meaning is that they're with the Lord. They're having fellowship with him, even as you know, Paul is speaking and he's writing these things. And so don't grieve, you know, like other people that have no hope. And this is really the blessed hope of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and even in the, you know, last week I went to a funeral. Stan's father passed away quite suddenly. He's been sick for a while, but he passed away quite suddenly. And I don't know if you also heard the news that around that same week, also Eshin's mother passed away as well. But we can go to the ceremony, and it was sad. You know, I mean, every funeral is sad. But when you go to a believer, there's actually this incredible raw hope that rises up, and we know that this is not the end of the story, that this person is asleep, you know. And it's quite amazing. I don't know how many funerals that you've been to. It's not something that you want to aspire to, you know. But when you look into the body and you realize, wow, there really is this dichotomy of the soul, the spirit, you know, and the body. Because you look into the casket and it is just so evident. You don't have to be a spiritual person. You know, I mean, you don't have to be a religious person in any way. You could look at a body and realize that's just flesh. Whatever was the essence of that person is no longer there anymore. It is just so obvious. You know, and it makes you think about eternity a bit more. But this is the hope, you know, that they're just merely asleep. You know, my mom is merely asleep. Your loved ones are merely asleep. You know, those are the ones that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. They're merely asleep. You know, Hyge lost his uncle recently. He's merely asleep. You know, and there's going to be a glorious reunion that's coming very, very soon. And especially if you listen to Lauren Cunningham's talk, he's coming really soon, right? I mean, it's amazing. And so he's telling us this is going to happen. For those who believe, verse 14, those who believe that Jesus died, rose again, and even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. But this we say to you by the word of the Lord. In other words, he said, I'm not making this up. You know, verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. There used to be this joke, and we'd always say, you know why Presbyterians will get to heaven first? Because the dead in Christ will rise. Sort of a bad joke. But in any case, and so what happens is that as soon as the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ, in other words, those that died in Christ, so you're going all the way back from, you know, 33, 35, you know, whatever the date is, all the way to the present day until when Jesus comes, and from the grave or from the crematory or whatever. In fact, in the church, most Protestants, you know, we don't cremate our bodies because there's this belief. I mean, it really doesn't matter. I mean, God can do anything, right? You know, he can put those ashes together and everything. But there was a strong belief that you don't cremate your bodies. And in fact, in a lot of cultures, Muslims, Jews, actually are prevented from doing that. And so the body gets raised up, and then when the trumpet sounds, you know, I don't know what happens, the shout and something happens, and then trumpet, and then we get caught up. I don't know what happens, but we all get caught up together in the air, and we get to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he gives us this picture. Now, some of us ask the question, well, how about people that died before Jesus? What happens to them? You know, and Ephesians tells us that when he descended, he ascended, and he says in the scriptures, he gave gifts to men. And he says, if he ascended, and he also descended, and he went into Hades, he went to hell. And the idea is he took a host of captives. And so the Ephesians passage tells us what happened to people before Christ. You know, the idea is that they would have believed Jesus, and it was like in Abraham was reckoned to them as righteousness. And so when Jesus was in, you know, when he died and he went 3 days into the belly of the earth, basically the pictures, he gathered all those who had died before Christ and he took them up into heaven. That's the picture that happens. And we can look at like Luke, Luke 16, when he talks about rich man and Lazarus, to get a little picture of all that's happening. And so we see it's coming in stages, right? The dead before Christ, they're with the Lord now. The dead in Christ, you know, I guess it'll be a bit in the Lord, and the trumpet sounds, and they're going to be caught up in the air, and then those that are alive, and maybe us, who knows, maybe our kids, I don't know, pretty soon, right? And there was this sense of it's going to happen soon, and we get to be caught up with the Lord in the air, and he's basically giving us this eschatology. And then the word in verse 18 is, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Very, very specific order of events that take place, you know, but something, you know, let's close our eyes and it's kind of a big question for early in the morning. But do you have assurance of salvation? Do you know that you know that you know that you know that if you were to die or Jesus were to come back, that you would be caught up with him in the air? I know it's a big question, but I think a very necessary question as we're talking about death and resurrection and all these things. God has given the church this gift of assurance. It's not just because we memorize the verse, even though the verse is a good one. But this morning, do you have assurance of salvation? And I'm assuming that you do. But if not, you need to meet the Lord today. But let me ask another question. The people around you whom you love, do they have assurance of salvation? Your siblings, your parents, your grandparents. Your spouse, your good friends. If they died and Jesus came back, would they be caught up in the air as well? Would they be asleep or would they just die? Well, let's commit ourselves to reaching out to them. As Gene leads us in a song, let's really offer our lives to this end. Let's sing and pray together. Let's spend some time today and let's pray. Let's pray for our loved ones that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that have not welcomed Him into their lives. And this is, you know, people talk about life and death decisions. This is actually not life and death. This is eternal life decision. It goes way beyond what we have in the natural. Let's pray for opportunities that God would give to us. Let's pray for moments. Let's pray Holy Spirit would breathe upon our friends and our family members in this way, that they would come to Jesus, that they would be caught up in the air, that when they die, they wouldn't die. They would merely be asleep in the care of the Lord Jesus. Just as He turned to the thief and said, "Hey, today you shall be with me in paradise. And let's pray that our friends would experience paradise. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for those in our community that are battling cancer. Let's pray for God's hand to be upon them. Let's pray those that are going through chemotherapy and also are in need of transplants. I want you to just be aware of on the fourth one, Jennifer Kong. If you remember, Jennifer is in Singapore. I met with her last week. They're in very good spirits, but she started her radiation therapy, and it's a very aggressive, rare form of lymphoma, but they're doing quite well. Let's just really cover them, and Jason as well, and you know, they have a little girl, Maddie. Let's just ask God's hand to be with them during this time. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community that's ill, but also need that word of salvation even more so. And let's pray for the Lord, Holy Spirit, to speak into their lives and that they would receive and accept the Lord Jesus. And let's pray. Pray others in our community that are battling different kinds of illnesses. So let's ask God's hand to heal them. Let's pray for our friends looking for work. Let's ask God to open doors and provide for them, and that they would use their time wisely at this time. Let's pray. Our mission prayer focus, and today let's pray for China. Let's pray for the church plant in Beijing. All right, I mean they're doing so well, and ask God to continue to use them. Pray for P. Sam Kim, his family, Chris and his family, and Mary and the other leaders there, that the Lord would just continue to use them to outreach. And you know, there's such a tangible presence of God in their meetings, and let's pray that we just continue on. Pray for the Chung family. They are really trying to get their visa situation in order. They're trying to make their trip to NK with our team end of this month. And so let's pray that all those things would go through. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents, P. Nate and myself. We're going to go minister with their dad in Inner Mongolia at the end of this month as well. Pray for during that time. Pray for the Basarabas. Pray for Leanne. She just wrote a newsletter, and so she's been fighting kind of bouts of loneliness here and there. So let's really pray that God would just really meet with her powerfully. I'll pray for Edie, the kids in Chichihar. Pray for the government, the churches, and let's ask God's hand to breathe over China. And let's pray for our friends there as well. Let's pray for our church staff, pray for our board and our missions committee, pray for our leaders, their families, their health, their ministries, that they would just really continue to give themselves to the Lord and really serve God with a pure heart. Let's just really lift them up before God and ask for His hand to be with them. Let's pray for Febe, pray for Pastor Salamat and his family, pray for all the initiatives and the church plan in Meifu and all the different things going on in Febe. Let's pray for God's hand to be with them. Pray for the Korean church as well, Pastor Choi. I pray that they will continue to grow and there will be a real breakthrough in their church. Let's pray. Lastly, let's pray for our house churches that are meeting tonight. Let's pray for just life to really happen and flow during these meetings. Pray for Bonham, Kowloon, Lan Kwai Fong, Old Peak, and Happy Valley. Pray that as they gather together that there will be just a strong sense of the Spirit of God moving in their lives. Let's lift them up, and leaders and all the members. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for this, the blessed assurance, God, that you give to us. We thank you, Lord, that you died so that we will never die. Lord, you paid the price, God, so that we wouldn't have to. We thank you for grace, Lord, that's extended to your church. And now help us to live lives that are worthy of that, God. Lord, use us, God, to minister to our friends and our family. Lord, let us recognize, God, the urgency, Lord, of evangelism, God, and of reaching out, Lord, God, that truly it's beyond life and death, God. It's eternal life, God, and eternal death. And so give us boldness, Lord, I pray, for each of us, God. Give us a boldness, Lord. God, we thank you, Father. God, watch over us this day. God, use us, Lord, to bring glory to your Son, Jesus. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.